Southwest of, that's better. Yep. Southwest of Western Australia comprises a very ancient and weathered landscape. Originally we had the weathering during the tertiary period, so we're looking at several tens of millions of years ago. And following this time, we had erosional processes that took place, followed by the aridification approximately a million years ago. And following during this time, we also saw the precipitation of various salts into the landscape. So we have a landscape that has things like silcretes, ferrocretes, alluvium, colluvium, an assortment of salts. So we're looking at a very complex mixture of materials associated with this region, and very old. Just two pictures of two deep drains in the Western Australian region. And these are located in very different material types, and the commonality between them is obviously the presence of very saline water from the groundwater region that, due to deep drainage, can be pumped out, removed, and taken to another suitable location. So what we're looking at is valley floor sediments that are incredibly complex, and we're looking at the problems associated with these rising groundwaters and the associated salts that they bring with them. So we're looking at a situation where this is obviously dry land salinity, the removal of deep-rooted perennial vegetation in this sort of region, which has led to the increase in the groundwater level and the subsequent salts, extra salts that have come with them. Deep drainage is an engineering solution, an alternative to plant-based solutions that have proven not as effective as we would have liked or not as economically effective. But the results have been quite inconsistent in terms of sometimes they've drained quite well and sometimes they haven't drained as was expected. And understanding these materials and their complexity will hopefully allow us to make drainage a more predictable tool. In order to do that, a great way to start is by classifying the range of materials that we were able to identify in these areas. And the first of these three steps that have been undertaken is looking at the morphology. So within the field environment, we've looked at a complete range, and some of these include things like texture. So we're looking at sands, loams, light clays, and sort of medium to heavy clays. Structure, coarse fragments, so the type of coarse fragment may be pisoliths or rounded gravels or rock fragments from bedrock materials. And of course colour, and although we've looked at the colour more in depth, we've also got three broad classes. So just over 800 samples were examined in total, and using sort of a tree structure diagram, these fell into 102 different classes. However, five really distinct clear materials were identified, and these were clay, sand, carbonates, coarse sediments, and indurated materials. And on the right there's a picture of these materials. So the carbonate's quite obvious. To the right of that is an indurated material. Above are some clays, and below you've got some coarse sediments there. And even just visually you can see there is quite a diversity there. The second level of classification that we looked at was mineralogy using XRD, and I've presented three XRD patterns associated with these materials which show the predominant sort of materials in this landscape. First here we have what is basically kaolinite, quartz and feldspar, and this represents the kaolinite quartz dominated regolith material. The second of the three dominant materials, again, we have the kaolinite and the quartz, and also calcite and dolomite. So this is where we have calcite and dolomite impregnating what is a quartz and kaolinite-based matrix material. In this case, the majority of the carbonate material was dolomite, and in more cases than not, it was associated with halite. And the third material is, again, this quartz kaolinite-based regolith material, and in this case impregnated with hematite and goethite, which are our iron oxide materials. In order to look at, sort of do some interpretation of the mineralogy, we used factor analysis in order to see if we got any sort of clear groupings of the minerals present. And as you can see, we do. We've got three there, sort of suites of minerals. The first on your right is quartz, feldspar and the one-to-one clay minerals, and this is basically our base regolith material. To the left, we have the 2-to-1 clay minerals, halite, calcite and dolomite, and these are obviously the carbonate-based minerals that are present. And finally, we've got hematite and goethite, which are the iron oxides associated with these regolith materials. Applying that to the samples to see the separation, I've got two sets of coating on the left. The top one is the six sites that I have across the wheat belt, and the bottom ones are the four sort of classes of materials that we've seen. On the left-hand side of that picture, that diagram, you can see that grouping of sites, and the majority of them in those are from Three Springs. And the second letter, which is B, is basically all the carbonate. So all those carbonate materials, which are basically from one site, have clustered together. Down the base of that diagram, we do have a few that have separated out from a variety of sites, and they are iron oxide-based materials. But overall, the majority from the variety of sites have clustered together, so showing a similar mineralogy. So basically we have a common regolith material, and that's basically quartz and kaolinite with some minor feldspar from the underlying geology of this granitic Yilgarn Craton, which is the area we're looking at. Some of this regolith has been indurated by iron oxides, and again some of this has been indurated by carbonates. We also found a small amount of orthogenic 2-to-1 clay minerals, and these were only present at two of the sites and are associated with the carbonate materials. The third layer of classification that we undertook was looking at the chemistry, and we did this using XRF at this first level. Again, we've got a situation where these materials have separated out into groups. The first larger one on the top left-hand side, including aluminium, includes aluminium and silicates, which are associated with the weathering of our primary of our regolith material. Those to the right are sodium, magnesium and calcium, those associated with our carbonate materials, and the one down the bottom with the chromium and iron are our iron oxides, and where the chromium can substitute for the iron within that structure. Again, looking at this separation in terms of the samples, we've got that clear separation of the samples from Three Springs, which are the carbonate-based samples. Some down the base we have, which are a mixture from different sites, are those which are dominated by iron oxides. And the majority we can see again have clustered, showing that these samples, although from six different locations across the wheat belt, which spans a distance of 600 to 700 kilometres from north to south, have very similar chemistry. Some of these materials actually comprise several components. So they're a matrix with models, or there are a matrix with models and different types of coarse fragments. And so we decided to run this analysis again, having done XRF analysis on each of those individual components, just to see if something different showed up. And as we can see, it has. And we're quite surprised by the fact that we've seen very little connection between the most of the chemistry associated with that, and that can be seen by that spread of those elements. The only thing we do see again, which we've seen repeatedly, is the clustering of those carbonate-based elements. Referring to the samples for this site, for this analysis, again we can see where the Three Springs samples have clustered together based on their similarity in terms of the presence of calcite and dolomite. However, other than a few outliers, the rest of the samples from all those sites have clustered quite tightly. If we have a bit of a more in-depth look at these, we can see that there is no patterning within this more detailed analysis. And from that we can conclude that although these samples all have quite a diverse chemistry within each sample, although they may be from different areas across the wheat belt, they are still very similar. So basically what we've established at this stage is that our materials originate from, they're a quartz kaolinite regolith material, and they are either modified by induration by salts or by iron oxides. The next level of this work we'll be using scanning electron microscopy and EDS in order to investigate the modification of these processes and see if we can establish some sort of time frame in terms of when these processes occurred in the landscape. And finally, the aim of this investigation is looking at drainage materials, and to make drainage more effective we need to understand, combine these with other properties such as bulk density and conductivity, I can't even remember the word, but something to do with water moving through soil, in order to tie this in with the aim of the project, which is to look at materials and be able to determine if they're going to be more predictable in terms of drainage. And finally, I would just like to thank the following individuals and the generosity of the GRDC. Thank you.
Do we have any questions?
Seriously, doubt was that comprehensive.
I just had one about these are rising levels of water in this area.
Yeah, obviously we're talking about the major cropping area of Western Australia, which is known as the Wheat Belt, and obviously due to cropping we've got water tables that sit somewhere between less than a metre from the surface of the landscape.
I have a question.
Yep.
You used two-dimensional vector plots.
Yep.
You were showing. Why not use three dimensions instead of two? Because you look like you're only accounting for about 50% of the variance.
Yeah, we are. I could give you the simple answer, which is I haven't got to that stage yet, and I'm sure we will expect that to account for far more and look at doing that on further analysis, yeah. And of course there is a lot more to go. I mean, things like the chemistry and the mineralogy have only accounted for 50%, and therefore the next stages, including things like the more physical analysis and the microscopy work, we will hope to sort of elaborate more on that, because obviously what we're hoping to show hasn't been shown at this level. The chemistry and the mineralogy of all these samples are quite similar, but we know in the field that they all drain quite differently, so we're still looking for what is likely to be the reasoning behind why these materials differ.
You identified a lot of dolomite, at least in one of the samples.
Yep.
Can you speculate on whether there's been some discussion about whether dolomite is a pathogenic mineral in certain environments? Or could you speculate on whether you think it's pathogenic in that environment, or does it, the classic model is sort of an evaporative soft trend to positive where dolomite is more geogenic?
That site in particular, Three Springs, sits just at the top of this area that I'm looking at, which is the Yilgarn Craton, and I think the geology is very different. The Yilgarn Craton is a granitic area, and I think the reason that this site is, I mean, we're looking at samples that are probably 80% dolomite with very little quartz in them, is literally just a different geological area, if that helps. Yes. Yep. I could take a guess and say it's we're looking at a very sort of long, complex history, and it's maybe material that's just blown in that's part of the landscape. There's not a huge amount, and it's basically associated with pisolithic gravel material as opposed to a lot that sits naturally in the profile.